Hello, everyone. Today is Tuesday, September the 19th. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028, or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. You can help us keep the conversation going by supporting the show. You can share it online, leave us a good review on iTunes or Spotify, absolutely nothing less than 5 stars. I will shriek, and I will scream, and I will cry, and I will threaten to come to your house and pop you if you don't leave us 5 stars exactly on iTunes. And guess what? I'm even going to make it easy for you. I'm going to leave a link in the description so we can do just that.
You're welcome.
Today's verse of the day is coming to us from Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 5. Stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise.
In the wording here, interesting. Notice that Nehemiah is not saying if you feel like it or if you have time.
Get
or
the
if you're
heck
having,
up.
If you're having a good day. No, you just stand up and
get up.
The Lord forever. Mm-hmm. Bless the Lord. And that posture of just worshiping God no matter what our life is looking like, no matter what our circumstances are, and that's the heart of what we ought to be doing as Christians. That's the heart of our show.
Oh yeah. If you're a worship pastor or a worship leader, or you just have, if you've led worship before, you know that there's a lot of times you have to convince Christians it's worth their time to stand up and sing.
Yeah.
Like you have to convince them like, hey guys, the reason we're doing what we're doing is blah, 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 blah. And it comes to a point where it's like, this should be self-evident to
you.
Yeah,
like, well, you know, singing's not really my thing. It's not really worship. Worship really is my thing. Okay, but it's God's.
Yeah, and I can tell you what, I said this the other week. It's like, you may be in a place where like singing is not your thing, but if you're going to heaven, you better get used to it real soon.
Because
that's all you're going to be doing for all of eternity is praising the Lord.
That's
and I love
a great
that.
Point.
Blessed be your name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. It means no matter how much I bless you, no matter how much I praise you, I'm still not going to encapsulate all of your glory and all of your goodness. That's
right.
How good God is.
That's right.
Speaking of things that are good, I want to talk about something that's bad.
Uh-oh.
You know why? Because it's time for the grapevine.
The grapevine.
I couldn't get Ellie to do it. Well, I did get her to do it, but it took some cajoling. She didn't want to make the sound.
Oh, you got to make the sound. That's
she
part
definitely
of it.
Didn't want to do the eating the ground. I don't like it. I really don't like it when I go to McDonald's, other fast food restaurants too, but it's really bad at McDonald's. And it's like, they got somewhere else they need to be. They're like rushing me.
Oh my, I'm so glad that you said that.
I'm going to be a McDonald's employee and I just want you to order.
Sure.
All right. So
hey.
So this is role play time.
Yeah.
Okay. This is like, whose line is it anyway?
Hey, can I get a number 2 combo with fries?
Number 2 combo with fries. Anything else?
Yes, I also like a number 4.
Number 4, is that it?
No, a number 4 with, can I get that with a baked potato?
Number 2 combo with fries and a number 4 with a baked potato, is that it?
No, I still have several more orders to go. Can I get a
continue
a
when you're ready.
Can I get a kid's meal with chicken nuggets?
Kid's meal, chicken nuggets, is that it?
No, it's not. Can I get another kid's meal?
Go ahead and continue with your order, sir. I'm like, dude, where do you got to be? You at work, bro. You are at work.
You are here to serve.
Yeah, you here from 9 to 5. And then from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock, someone else is going to be where you're at. You are at work. You're here to take my order. I'll let you know when that's it.
This is especially aggravating if you have a family of a large size.
Oh, my goodness.
Can I tell you how many times I've been through the drive-thru and I had to preface my order with saying, hey, I have 7 orders that I'm going to have
to
put in.
You got
to
let them know ahead of time.
I will tell you when I'm done, but I have 7 orders in order that I have to put in. So just buckle up, get ready, flex your fingers if you have to, because here we go.
It's got to be part of their training.
Yeah.
Because every McDonald's I go to across the nation, it's like someone is telling them in McDonald's corporate policy, after they tell you what any item, ask them if that's it. Ask them that if they're done, if that's all.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, I'm trying to spend more money.
Here's a better way to do that. Like, can I get anything else for you today?
Yeah.
That's a better way to do that because number 1, it's kind. Number 2, you might actually upsell me on something. Like, I may have been on the fence about a milkshake, but if you're like, can I get anything else for you? Well.
Yeah, you know what?
I've been good. I'll get a vanilla milkshake. But if you rush me, 100%
bro,
that's not going
to
happen.
Oh, they do. It's like they rush me every single item. They have to check with me if that's it. And I promise
it's irritating.
Like, yeah, and you feel like you got to tell them, like, hey, this is a big order.
Yeah.
It's a big order. So just sit there. And this is crazy. but just take the order.
Yeah.
You don't got to facilitate the order and process.
And it's even worse when there's people behind you or they're rushing you. And I'm do you not see the number of people in my family? You want me to talk faster? How do you want me to do this?
I'll give it to Chick-fil-A. Their customer service is on point.
Yes, it is. It is.
I don't love chicken. Chicken is not one of my favorite Southern foods, but I'm going to give it to them. I go there sometimes and order something I don't even want.
Yep.
Just because of the customer service. I'm like, you know what?
Customer service is out of this world.
I don't even want a frosted lemonade. I just want to be spoken to with respect.
That's right. It's their pleasure. It is their pleasure. You know, we saw McDonald's, not a Chick-fil-A. We saw McDonald's in Greece.
Really?
We drove past it. Yeah, it was like almost like three stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't seem as prevalent. You know what was prevalent over there?
What's that?
KFC.
Really?
Lots of KFC.
Somebody, that's interesting. I would not have suspected that. Somebody sent pictures of Domino's.
Yeah, there was a Domino's was that you? Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was in Athens. So a little bit bigger city vibe. But there was KFC almost everywhere we went.
That's crazy.
I'm like, KFC, really?
What was the food like in Greece? Was it good?
So good. What was it?
Was it mostly vegetable? A lot of meat, a lot of starch?
It was kind of a balance. There was vegetable. Greek salad was kind of at every meal.
Yeah.
Which is just tomato and cucumbers and onions and feta cheese and the olive oil. That was pretty much a staple. There were a lot of meat. They had not as much lamb as I was expecting.
Yeah, lamb is pretty big in Israel.
Yeah. But chicken, pork, beef in places. And I mean, it was so good.
Cool.
So delicious.
Awesome. Well, and they didn't rush you from the table.
No, they didn't.
If you're like, can I get a lamb kebab? Lamb kebab, is that it?
Honestly, if anything, they could have gone a little bit quicker.
Really?
Because I guess in Greece, dining is sort of an experience. So we sat down to eat somewhere and we're kind of like, you know how we pace things here in America? Like by the time you're wrapping up your appetizer, your main course should be hitting the table. It is not that way in Greece.
Oh, really?
Like you finish the appetizer plates are cleared from the table, and then you're going to wait for 10 to 15 minutes before the main course comes out.
Oh, wow.
And that's just how it's designed.
Do you order or do they just bring you the food?
No, you order.
Okay.
Well, in some places we just had a set thing that we were getting, but, you sit there and it's just meant to be this experience where you're talking and laughing and bonding for several hours. And we're like,
yeah, we got to go. I got to find Paul.
Yeah. But it was, oh man, it was so good.
Cool.
We're going to bring Dr. Shaw in just a second, continue talking about Greece and tell you about our trip. But if you guys have any questions or suggestions for new topics, if you want to gripe about McDonald's service employees, let us know because we're there too. Send us a text to 252-582-5028. Also, no offense if you are a McDonald's employee.
Yeah, just don't do that.
Just don't rush us.
Yeah, just don't do that.
That's all we're asking.
You'll be fine.
Visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. We'll be back after this.
Hey everyone, my name's Ellie.
And I'm David.
And we want to take a minute and let you know how we can actually serve you as you're listening to Clearview today.
The Bible paints an extraordinary picture of who we are as a church body. The mission of Clearview Church is to lead all people into a life-changing, ever-growing relationship with Jesus Christ. A huge part of leading people is praying for them. A big reason that Christians have unanswered prayers in their life is because they're not praying.
You know, 1 John 5:15 says, "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." If you're listening to the Clearview Today Show, we want to know how we can pray for you as well.
There's a number of ways that you can get in touch with us at Clearview and share your prayer request, but the best way is by texting us at 252-582-5028. You can also send us an email at prayer@clearviewbc.org, or you can download the Clearview app on iTunes or Google Play. You know, on that app, there's a dedicated prayer wall that helps us to get to know what's going on in your life, how we can pray for you, and how we can take any necessary steps to get you moving in the right direction.
Thanks for listening. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text 252-582-5028.
That's right. And if today's your first time ever joining us here on the Clearview Today Show, we want to welcome you, let you know exactly who's talking to you today. Dr. Abadan Shah is a PhD in New Testament textual criticism, professor at Carolina University, author, full-time pastor, and the host of today's show. You can find all of his work on his website. That's abadanshah.com.
Dr. Shah, Kalispera.
Kalispera.
Which means
good.
Some in your Greek. Your ancestry.
Let me pull it out to the surface. I'm gonna guess it's good day.
It's good day, right?
Good day.
Okay.
Good day.
Kali Spera is good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, Kali Mera is what you say in the morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
And then Kali Spera is what you say in the afternoon. And Kali Nipta is like good night.
It is. Which means like there's not like a good night, like good evening. It's not a good evening. It's a good night. Yeah. We're leaving.
Oh, we're going done. Now.
We're
going to bed now.
It's like I'm about
no
to
more
dip.
Talking after this.
Yes. Kali,
I've said
Nikta.
Kali Nikta.
I'm
That's
out.
It.
Kali Nikta means conversation.
That
my
is
dad
the
punctuary.
That is the pin in the conversation.
The party is over.
Party is over.
Party is well and truly over. Well, guys, we are sharing today about our recent trip to Greece. Dr. Shah and I and a team of David, Nicholas, a team of other people went to Greece, and it was just, man, it was the time of our lives. It was unbelievable just to learn and to walk Paul's steps.
Mm-hmm. Last show, we talked about our time in Thessalonica, our time in Philippi, our time in Berea. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, in Kavala, which is Neapolis. This was the place where Paul came after he got the Macedonian call.
Right.
He came across from Troas, which is in modern-day Turkey, Asia Minor, and he came across to Greece.
And it kind of felt like a sequel to your previous trip, because in your previous trip, you were all in Turkey, like modern-day Turkey. What would have been Ephesus, what would have been like Asia Minor, where he was trying to get to, and then the Macedonian call happens, and he just is like, all right, I'll just scoot on over to Greece. And you're like, I'm going too.
And here we are. Me too.
Yeah, so, we're going with you.
So may I finish up in Asia Minor, and then in September, I'm in the Thessalonica, Philippi. So it's just about the same time.
Same time span. That's pretty awesome. And it's funny because like the Bible says, it's like, all right, he couldn't do that, so he just went on ahead to Greece. But like, you think it's like the next day he's just landing in Neapolis.
He's got to go on that boat. And it was not a long trip.
Yeah.
It didn't take 3 months to get there, but it was a boat ride and that brought him Samothrace, that island, and then into Neapolis, which is Kavala. And from Kavala to Philippi, where Lydia's baptism takes place, the Philippian jailer gets saved, his whole family gets saved, that demon-possessed girl with the spirit of Python, maybe we'll talk about that briefly.
Yeah, let's do it.
She also is set free. The church is born, but then persecution comes, as you know, thrown in the jail, and the Philippian jailer gets saved through that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then the authorities try to make him leave, but Paul says, no, we're not just going to leave. You have to come and set us free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why do you think Paul did that? You have the answer to that, Ryan? I mean, think about that. I mean, it was kind of like if we were to just leave because they said leave, they could next moment say, hey, they're escaping.
Right.
That's true.
And they would have had them killed.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, in a way, Paul protected the Philippian jailer. He made sure that they were still in place. He maintained their reputation like they weren't escaped convicts.
Right.
Just because the jail busted open, they fled. They're like, no, I mean, we're here. We've been imprisoned. We're not going anywhere.
You have to come and help us get out.
Mm-hmm. That's some of like Paul's scholarship coming out. Like, he knows how to think.
Yeah,
he knows how to think ahead and not just say, okay, well, fine. If he tells us to leave, we'll leave. But tomorrow they could sent out a posse of soldiers or assassins or whoever to say, go kill them because they're jailed, you know, they're escaping jail.
Right.
Paul didn't do that. But he went on from there to Thessalonica, and then from there to Berea. They were chased by those who were not accepting the faith of the Messiah.
So that's one thing that I wanted to bring up, because when we talked about it the day before y'all left, we were doing that devoted, that show on your sermon devoted, and how much trouble Paul was going through. And then we cut the mics off and we just started talking here and there. And I said, I never realized that Paul went to Thessalonica. They were like, hey, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, fine. I'm going to bounce. He goes to Berea. And the people from Thessalonica are like, go to Berea
follow
and cause trouble for him.
Yeah, they went after him. They chased him down.
They followed him into another town and were like, no, you can't do it here either.
The thing that got me was, and we talked about this when we were in Thessaloniki, was, you know, this was religious leaders who had a problem with Paul, but they got rabble-rousers. I mean, they got like just kind of just thugs. I mean, and then they threw the city into chaos.
Yeah.
I'm like, how much do you have to be against somebody that you sabotage your own city?
Yeah.
You just throw the whole thing into chaos because they were against Paul.
And then you see like a completely different heart in Berea, right? Because that's where he goes.
The Bereans were, and I'm preaching on this, I preached on this because it was, they were fair-minded.
Yeah.
They took the time to listen to Paul and then go home, open up their scriptures and see if Paul was right, to confer Paul's preaching with the documents, with the scripture. And Paul calls them more fair-minded.
Yeah.
or Luke, I guess, calls them fair-minded. And so that's what my message is to our churches is, you know, be fair-minded. Go home and see for yourself. Is this what the scripture is saying? Mm-hmm. What you heard preached, is this really in the scriptures? And so again, the Thessalonike troublemakers from Philippi, they came there as well, caused trouble, and Paul had to finally leave. And this time he went all the way down to Athens.
What was Athens like? Because I know that's got to be like the pinnacle of the trip in a lot of ways.
Well, before we went to Athens, we stopped at a couple of places on the way on our trip.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah. Paul didn't. We went on land. Paul went on the water. He got on a ship and came to Athens. We actually just drove straight down from Thessaloniki and headed, or actually Berea, and headed down towards Delphi.
Okay.
Now, the problem was we were going to stop at this monastery called Meteora. These are just amazing, what do you call it, geological formations, these massive cliffs coming out of the ground.
It's unreal.
And monasteries have been built upon this at one time as many as 26. And now it's what, like 8 or so left, I think it is. We left the monastery area. We really enjoyed that. Stayed there a whole day, went to some Byzantine chapels and stuff like that, learned a lot of history. And then we made our way down. The only bad part was the heavy rains that hit Greece. I mean, this was not normal.
Really?
Bridges got washed out. Roads were washed away.
While y'all were there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was awful.
We didn't know that. I didn't know that for the first 2 days because I'm so just enjoying northern Greece.
Right.
But I could hear people talking about this. And once in a while, I would look at the news and I'm like, is that Greece? Because it's not like that bad here.
Yeah.
But in the middle and southern part of Greece, it was torrential rain and roads and bridges are washed away.
Yeah.
And I asked our guide, I said, is this normal? She said, no, this is not normal at all. I said, I'm here. She said, I know, but everything is okay right now.
Yeah.
I'm like, are we going to make it down there? And she's like, I hope so.
Yeah. She kept saying, she's like, we will pray and we will trust God.
Wow.
And we were in.
She was a Christian, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a Christian. Yeah.
We were in Kalambaka, and we had some taxis that we took to another monastery, or not a monastery, a basilica, and our taxi driver told us it was like 2 years worth of rain that fell in 2 days.
Yeah,
holy moly.
It was just
an
unreal amount of rain, and we didn't notice it because it
floods
was
in the streets. I
unreal.
Mean, houses underwater.
Yeah.
Holy.
It was awful.
Yeah. Wow.
It was terrible.
Now, not where we were.
Yeah, yeah.
Before the south.
Yeah, we passed by places that looked like rivers and lakes that were not supposed to be there.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I mean,
there
you
were
saw
lakes.
People's farmlands that just got washed
Gosh.
Away. Whole bridges got knocked out. It was crazy.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
And our driver was amazing. He was an ex-military guy who was a military police guy. So he was just great. I mean, he knew how to drive. And so he is looking for ways to get around and get us down to Delphi from Meteora. And I mean, he was driving down roads. I was like, oh, Lord, help us.
Yeah. We were taking back roads and roads that were kind of like gravel roads in our big tour bus.
Right.
And some roads were like the sides have fallen out.
Yeah.
And he's like navigating through. Some roads, they have cables on the ground.
Yep.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Am I right?
Absolutely. Drove over cables that had been knocked down. And he's the whole time we were going through that day, he was calling his contacts and be like, what about this road? Have you tried this road? Because if we didn't do that, if we didn't go the way that we were going, it was going to be a 7-hour bus ride.
Towards the west to make a loop and come down below and go back up.
Yeah.
And that would have been horrible because we would have lost a lot of time and everything, and it would not have been good. So we actually ended up doing this. But in the process, we got to go to a place called
Thermopylae.
Yeah.
Thermopylae. So you did go to Thermopylae.
Yeah.
Nice. I remember that was a big thing before you left. You were really looking forward to going to Thermopylae.
And he took us there, stood by Leonidas' statue, stood by the pass where 300 Spartans gave their lives under King Leonidas.
That's incredible.
And held off the Persian army.
Yeah. Wow. Was there anything there, or was it kind of like
it's just nothing but a, you know, just a path there now.
Yeah.
Actually, we're still on the side of the road in the parking lot of this monument to King Leonidas.
Wow.
and his 300.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
It was amazing. They do, our tour guide said they do have a small museum. It's not elaborate.
Right.
But she said there's a small museum around the corner, and they have there's kind of across the street from where we were, across the highway. It's not really a street, across the highway from where we were. They have like a stadium that's kind of built with, mm-hmm. with seating that goes up, yeah, and they have reenactments.
Small mini outdoor theater.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So that was on the way to Delphi.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to Delphi, saw Delphi, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, Delphi, I don't know, words cannot express it, but this is ancient site, Temple of Apollo,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Temple of Athena. I mean, just so much is there. And maybe another episode we can talk about that, because
yeah,
the young girl who was afflicted by the spirit of Python,
mm-hmm.
spirit of Python is coming out of Delphi, because Delphi had that you know, the where the Python was,
yeah.
That Apollo defeated, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And built the sanctuary, so to speak, right? Mythologically.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So one thing that Eugenia kept saying, our guide kept saying, which I agree with her, is a lot of mythology is actually history.
Mm, things that actually happened,
mm-hmm. right.
that the Bible speaks about.
Yeah, but they did not have the complete evidence.
Right, right.
But they did have glimpses of truth,
mm-hmm.
and to fill the rest of the gaps, they brought in mythologies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think
some of it is just distorted mythology,
right.
distorted truth that became mythology? But nonetheless, if you kind of sift away and peel away what is mythology from what may be the truth, what you end up finding is that it's the biblical truth.
Right.
Do you think that Paul kind of understood that when he was in Athens?
Mm-hmm.
Because he spoke to the Athens. I don't think I want to say he spoke gently, but he spoke like, hey, I can perceive that you are
a religious people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that comes out very clearly in Acts 17,
mm-hmm.
as he goes to the Agora. And we came to Athens, by the way, mm-hmm. After we finished with Delphi, we made our way to Athens. And that was a phenomenal trip. I've been there before several times to Athens. And this was my fourth, I guess, or third time, twice in one trip. And then this one third. But Athens is an amazing city. In fact, every conqueror that came through Athens, they did not completely destroy Athens, because they felt like, this is enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't destroy the city. It's got too many good things,
mm-hmm.
too many monuments to humankind. Let's leave them alone.
Yeah.
But in Athens, we didn't get a chance to go through the Agora, the marketplace. Mm-hmm. But that's where Paul began to walk around and speak.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw so much. He saw gods and goddesses, and there was probably on the Acropolis, he must have seen all these statues.
Mm-hmm.
They're also in the Agora, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it was in the Agora or the Acropolis, but either way, he saw all these statues, and his heart was kind of burned within mm-hmm. himself.
Yeah.
And he gets up and makes that powerful, powerful sermon.
Mm-hmm. And y'all stood on Mars Hill where he actually gave that sermon. What was that
we
like?
We did.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We went to the Acropolis and walked up to the Parthenon, which means virgin.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to the Erechtheion. At one time I had said the Erechtheion was a Parthenon, but now it's the opposite. But Erechtheion is where the maidens are standing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we walked around several other temples there and looked around here and there. And then we made our way to Mars Hill.
Mm-hmm. And you climb up Mars Hill, and it's, I don't know what I was expecting, but it's different than what I was expecting, because it is just this giant stone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just a big boulder that you walk on top of. And it was, when we were there, it was so windy. The day that we were there, there were high winds, and the top of that stone, I guess from being exposed to the wind, is so slick. It is so slippery.
Now, it's interesting you bring that up, because I filmed with Pastor Shaw on rocky areas before, and he sort of turns into like a ninja parkour guy where he's like jumping around and he's it's like completely nimble. Was there any of that going on this time?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Some of the places that you were able to navigate to, Dr. Shaw, to film, I was trying to get there and I was just,
yeah. Like I remember when we would film on like Israelite mountains or I should say mountains in Israel and like in Grandfather Mountain here in North Carolina. And he's like, all right, let's go this way. And he's like jumping from stone to stone, like Assassin's Creed. And I'm like, how do I do that? I didn't know know it was going to be slick, but I did have a feeling there was going to be some navigation going on. That was awesome.
Windy. I mean, it was so windy.
It was very
windy. At one point, I'm standing close to the edge, like 3 feet from the edge. So I'm like, yeah, I have room. But then again, the wind was strong. Yeah. And I was like, any moment I'll get carried away. And it's a sheer drop.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, we stood there and we talked about that. About how Paul came here. And I know Ryan talked to the students on the camera.
I did. Talking about, you know, Paul said these words from this place because he was struck by the lostness around him. And, you know, that same, the way that Paul was moved by seeing the world around him and seeing the brokenness and the lostness around him, that we should be moved in the same way to step up and to, you know, in love, proclaim boldly the truth of Christ, because that's what Paul did. That those are the steps that we need to follow.
And then from there, going down to Corinth, what was that like?
Corinth was, it was breathtaking to see those, just the rubble. I mean, we got to walk through what would have been the Agora. We walked through, you know, where the shops would have been. We saw the Bema in Corinth.
Yep. Was able to walk up there. Some second time going up that Bema. And Bema is, you know, this place, this pedestal, and the Corinth Bema is just huge.
Mm.
But it's a pedestal on which, just like in Hyde Park, they will stand up there, is a speaker's corner. Mm. They get their 5 minutes to go ahead and say what they want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And then people can contradict that, or they can call them down, just like they did with Paul on Mars Hill. This was the Bema.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And I went up there and I read from Acts again, and it was pretty amazing.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and even prior to going to Corinth, we stopped at the Isthmus. You want to say something about that, David?
Oh man, I forgot about that. That was crazy to see this huge split where ships would like sail through, and the water was a blue that I had never imagined water could be.
Yeah.
And that was just an awesome sight, especially knowing that this is something that was like man-made. This isn't like a natural divide.
It was to avoid going around the Peloponnese because it's so dangerous and risky for the ships to go through there. It was so windy there, and then the jagged rocks, you never know what can happen. And just know that through the centuries, whether it was Alexander the Great or Xerxes, prior to Alexander the Great, Xerxes, the king of Persia, tried to build that canal. Alexander the Great, Nero tried to build a canal.
Really?
All these people failed because it was like, I mean, it's a massive task.
Yeah.
Am I right?
It is. It's huge. I mean, it's breathtaking to sit there and look at it. And you're like, how in the world
did this happen?
Yeah.
it literally looks like a giant axe just cleaved the land.
It's one of those wonders of antiquity, I guess.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's incredible.
I got a question for Nicholas. What was your favorite part in Greece, Nick?
Probably Athens.
You like Athens?
Yeah, it was my favorite there.
Okay. What did you see in Athens that you liked?
We saw, I believe, the Acropolis at night. That was really amazing.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
You had a clear shot of it, didn't you, sitting in that hotel, in the restaurant, right?
Yeah, a clear shot on top of the roof.
It's a breathtaking sight.
Well, we're definitely going to be talking more and more about this, because I think this trip has, even though I didn't go, this trip has been beneficial for me, because in following you guys, I've learned more about Paul's missionary journey and that Macedonian call than I ever cared to know before. But seeing you guys go through it and seeing you take those pictures and film that footage and show it back, and like, even for me to see you like on the steps and be like, Paul stood there, Paul preached right there, or here's the Bema, Paul spoke there, that bolstered my faith.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine what it's going to do for people who not only listen to this show, but stay tuned for that footage as it comes out later.
Yeah. I'm grateful, Dr. Shah, that you're not just somebody who goes and educates yourself and comes back and benefits us. You bring people along to educate them. I mean, you did that with Elizabeth and me on this trip. Brought us along and helped us learn and grow, and we're so thankful.
Absolutely. You're very welcome. That's our goal.
That's right. If you guys enjoyed today's episode, if you have questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. And don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom of the page, click that donate button, and join our Clearview Today Show family. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.